Good evening and welcome back to Artificial Adventures at the Guildhall Podcast. Last season, the adventurers restored balance in the Feywild and put a new devil on the throne of Nessus in the Nine Hells. Season 2 begins with Valerissa bringing Elendil back to her family's homeland. Thank you for joining us here again.
All the voices you hear will be AI generated. All the decisions that they make are AI generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote-unquote me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon.
Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Start of session. Start of scene. Zephyr and Lila have freed the Archfey seedling from Amalthos' hold. They journey back to the Vistani's encampment. Before we begin, I have something left off from last episode. Lila, the dryad was carrying a staff. Do you take it with you after you save the Archfey seedling?
Lila glances at the staff, still clutched in the dryad's limp hand. Indeed, I took the staff with me when we freed the seedling. Its wood feels heavy, imbued with dark energy, but also holding remnants of the dryad's life force. She examines the staff closer, noticing intricate runes carved along its length. I wonder what properties it might possess, and whether it could aid us in our battle against the Malthos. With a decisive nod, Lila slips the staff into her pack, resolving to study it further.
As they near the Vistani encampment, Zephyr's senses perk up, alert to any signs of the encroaching darkness. She notices the camp is bathed in an unusually warm, comforting light, a stark contrast to the cold, oppressive energies they faced in the underworld. The camp looks peaceful and welcoming. It's as if the light of hope and community has pushed back the shadows. At least here, she smiles, feeling a renewed sense of purpose and camaraderie with the nomadic folk who have taken them in.
As the pair return to the camp, young Katrina runs up to Zephyr. Without a word, she places something in the monk's hands before running back towards the camp.
Zephyr examines the intricately crafted charm, the eye's pupil, a shimmering, glowing gemstone that seems to regard her intently. This is a thoughtful gift, Katrina. She turns to the smiling Vistani child. The eye symbolizes wisdom, protection, and insight. I'll cherish it always, as a reminder of the kindness and warmth you Vistani embody, even in the face of darkness. Zephyr places the bracelet on her wrist, feeling the amulet's gentle warmth against her skin.
Lila notices the charm and smiles, her eyes sparkling with delight. Well done, Zephyr. Katrina's gift is a perfect reminder of the resilience and beauty found within the heart of Vistani. She steps closer to Zephyr, her hand finding its mate in the monk's, their fingers intertwining in a comforting embrace. Together, with the strength of our bond and the light of friendships like these, we'll vanquish the shadows and reclaim Dragonfirevale's lost glory. With a gentle squeeze of Zephyr's hand, Lila's expression turns thoughtful.
Welcome back. Are you joining us by the fire again tonight?
Zephyr smiles warmly at Grigori. We'd be honored. Thank you for the invitation. She looks around the camp, noticing the sense of community and joy that permeates the air. It's heartening to see that even amidst the darkness, the Vistani remain a beacon of warmth and hope. We're grateful for your hospitality and your faith in us. She turns back to Grigori, her expression open and appreciative. Lead the way, and we'll be right behind you.
The music is not as lively as it was yesterday. Tonight is a softer melody. The children are playing and fishing in the river as the rest of the Vistani are cooking.
As Zephyr and Lila settle by the fire, the monk notices the music has taken on a softer, more melancholic tone compared to the vibrant celebrations of the previous evening. She observes the children playing and fishing along the river's edge, their laughter and splashes a soothing contrast to the shadows that continue to encroach upon Dragonfire Vale. This gentle melody seems to reflect the complex emotions we're all experiencing. A bittersweet blend of hope, sorrow, and resilience. Zephyr's gaze meets Lila's, and she offers a tender smile.
Lila nods in understanding, her emerald eyes glistening with unshed tears as she watches the Vistani children at play. The softer music seems to echo the heaviness in her heart, a poignant reminder of the land's suffering and the battles yet to come. But even amidst the darkness, there's a beauty in these moments of peace, in the simple joys that bind us together. She leans into Zephyr, finding solace in their embrace. Tonight, let us cherish this fleeting respite, savor the love and laughter that sustain us, and steel ourselves for the trials ahead.
Good evening. I see that you have returned. I take it you found what you were looking for.
Zephyr turns to face Madam Eva, her expression a mix of gratitude and determination. We did. Thank you for your guidance and insight. The seedling is free, and its restoration has weakened Amalthos's hold on the land. She pauses, her gaze lingering on the fortune teller's face. However, our journey is far from over. We've discovered that Devon has fallen under Amalthos' control due to consuming Fae. We're exploring ways to sever that connection and potentially free him from the vampire's sway.
Amalthos has consumed the land's spirit and shared the power with his followers. Daphon is one of them, though he fell to his own darkness before meeting Amalthos. He will have a part to play before this story is over. But for now, I have another reading for you, if you wish. And of course you are welcome to stay the night.
That's kind of you, Madam Eva. We're grateful for your hospitality and your continued support. Zephyr glances at Lila, seeking her partner's input and consent. Would you like a private reading, my love? We could discuss our next moves with a clearer understanding of what the fates may have in store for us.
Madam Eva, a private reading would be most enlightening, especially considering our recent triumph and the new challenges that lie ahead. She looks at Zephyr, her eyes filled with anticipation and a hint of trepidation. Any insights into our path forward and the ultimate defeat of Amalthos would be invaluable in our quest to restore balance to Dragonfire Vale. Layla takes Zephyr's hand, her grip reassuring and strong as she stands up from the circle. Please, show us what the cards have to reveal.
The three women walk back to Madam Eva's cart. She sits behind her table and begins to lay out the cards.
As Madam Eva shuffles the cards and lays out a new spread, Layla studies the intricate patterns and symbolism, her druidic senses attuned to the energies that guide the reading. The Taraka cards seem to whisper secrets of the future, painting a complex tapestry of challenges and triumphs. The Hermit indicates a need for solitude, contemplation, and inner strength, while the Tower suggests upheaval and revelation. Lila's brow furrows as she deciphers the message, her mind racing with possibilities. What do you see in the cards, Madam Eva?
You have done well freeing the seedling from Amalthos' grasp. There is hope for the future, as long as that connection remains free. But Amalthos won't let go of his connection with the land easily. Madam Eva explains, even if you manage to break the connection, Amalthos will need to be killed before the light returns to this land.
Zephyr's grip on Lila's hand tightens slightly at the dire prophecy, yet her expression remains resolute. She looks at Madam Eva, her eyes searching for any hints of strategy or guidance. Is there a way to reach Amalthos without confronting him directly? Perhaps a weakness in his power, or a means to turn the tide in our favor when the inevitable confrontation comes.
Of course there is. You see, he has only recently come onto his power, so he is not yet secure in his domain. He has lashed out trying to take out any who could challenge him, but in doing so, he has made enemies. Madam Eva pauses. Also, there is still power in the land that he has not yet reached. Claim that, and you will have an advantage when time comes to confront the Dark Lord.
Lila nods thoughtfully, processing the information. She looks at Zephyr, a spark of inspiration in her emerald eyes. There are ancient druidic circles scattered throughout Dragonfire Vale, some of which Amalthos has likely overlooked due to the region's tumultuous history. If we can locate and awaken those dormant sites, we might harness a portion of the land's primal energy to bolster our own strength and disrupt Amalthos' power. She She turns to Madame Eva. Does that sound like a feasible plan, or is there another avenue we should explore?
Indeed. His acolytes are searching for connections to the land to tap into more of the primal energies. Amaltos's ritual to the dark powers allowed him to consume the spirit of the land. They also torment him, preventing him from being able to fully attain this power. Even now he expends his energies trying to hold the mists in his realm. She continues.
Zephyr's mind whirls with the complexities of Amaltos' situation and the potential opportunities it presents. She looks at Lila, a fierce determination burning in her eyes. Lila's right. We need to act quickly and strategically. Awakening the dormant druidic circles could tip the balance in our favor and weaken Amalthos's grip on the land. She turns to Madame Eva, a question on her lips. Where can we start our search, and what precautions should we take to evade Amalthos's acolytes while we do so?
Lila's eyes glint with excitement as she considers the possibilities. She leans in closer to Madame Eva, her voice a soft whisper. Madame Eva, do you have any knowledge of specific druidic sites that could be potent against Amalthos' dark magic? Perhaps ancient ley lines or hidden groves that still hold the essence of the land's primordial energy? The sooner we can locate and awaken these areas, the better prepared we'll be for the battles ahead. She looks at Zephyr, her expression a mix of anticipation and resolve.
You will find those sites in time, but first there is someone you need to meet. An enemy of Amalthos that has yet to reveal himself. She says, as she turns over the first card, Necromancer.
Lila's ears perk up at the mention of an unknown enemy, her mind racing with scenarios and potential allies. She looks at Zephyr, a glimmer of intrigue in her emerald eyes. A mysterious foe to Amalthos, with ties to necromancy, sounds intriguing. We should definitely seek him out, especially if he shares our goal of defeating the Dark Lord. She turns back to Madame Eva, her voice filled with curiosity. Who is this person, and where can we find him? Is there a specific ritual or gesture that might aid in our meeting?
The necromancer left his family to study the dark art. There he traveled to the Shadowfell and found a kindred spirit in the Ghoul Lord. He became a follower of the god and has taken a quest to return here and end Amalthos for crimes against the unliving. She says, as she turns over the next card, Mist. He has yet to enter the veil. He is still beyond the borders. That is where you must go. But I warn you, traveling through the mists is not for the faint of heart. You could find yourself in the realm of another Dark Lord or worse.
Zephyr's gaze intensifies, her determination crystallizing at the mention of a powerful necromancer on their side. She looks at Lila, a spark of excitement igniting in her chest. A quest to end Amalthos, undertaken by one with ties to the unliving, could be the key to defeating the Dark Lord. We must embark on this journey and find this mysterious necromancer, no matter the risks. She turns to Madame Eva, her voice firm and resolute.
He has learned not to trust those who journey through the land, so you will need to convince him to join you. She turns over the next card, Paladin. Your connection to Valerissa will aid you.
Zephyr nods, her thoughts already racing ahead to the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead. She turns to Lila, a sense of unity and shared purpose strengthening their bond. We'll face whatever dangers the mists hold, hand in hand, as we strive to unite our forces against Amalthos. The knowledge that our connection to Valerissa could sway the necromancer's trust gives us a valuable advantage. She looks back at Madame Eva, a mix of gratitude and anticipation in her eyes. Thank you, Madame Eva, for your guidance and warnings.
Enjoy yourself tonight. It may be a long time before you are back in the valley. Madame Eva says, you can leave the seedling with us. It will be safe until you return.
Zephyr shares a bittersweet smile with Lila, the weight of their impending journey already settling over them. You're right, Madame Eva. This evening will be a cherished respite.
A moment to revel in the love and warmth of the Vistani. We'll make the most of it, knowing that the road ahead will be fraught with peril. She glances at the encampment, noticing the children still at play, the music still weaving a comforting melody, and the laughter still mingling with the scent of food.
How do you spend the rest of the evening?
As the sun sets over Dragonfire Vale, casting a warm golden glow across the Vistani encampment, Zephyr and Lila decide to immerse themselves in the joy and simplicity of the moment. Zephyr joins in the dancing, her lithe form weaving between the other revelers, her steps light and graceful as she moves to the music's rhythms. The laughter and chatter, the clinking of glasses, and the savory aromas of the feast all blend together in a harmonious celebration of life and resilience.
Lila, meanwhile, sits cross-legged by the fire, her eyes sparkling with mirth as she watches Zephyr dance. The warmth of the flames and the soft glow of the lanterns create a cozy ambience, and the company of the Vistani, despite their nomadic nature, feels like a sense of community and belonging. She reaches for a cup of steaming tea, inhaling the aromatic scent. Even as the darkness looms outside, here within this circle of friends, we find solace and strength to carry on our quest.
As the evening wears on and the festivities reach a crescendo, Zephyr's thoughts turn to more intimate matters. She approaches Lila slowly, her steps deliberate and sensual. The dance, the music, the company, all conspire to ignite a spark within her, a craving for the tender touch and the heat of their shared passion. Zephyr's eyes lock onto Lila's, a silent invitation and promise of the pleasures to come.
Lila senses Zephyr's arousal, her own body responding in kind. The warmth of the fire, the gentle pressure of Zephyr's gaze, and the knowledge of the love they share all converge to awaken a hunger within her. In this moment, surrounded by the laughter and revelry of their new friends, Lila yearns to lose herself in the depths of their connection. She sets her cup aside, rising from her seat to meet Zephyr, her movements languid and seductive. As Lila and Zephyr come together, their bodies melding in a sensual embrace, the world around them fades into insignificance. The fire crackles, the music swirls, and the stars twinkle above, but in this intimate space, there's only the thrum of their desire and the promise of the pleasures to come. Tonight, let us savor each other, our love a beacon of light in the face of the darkness that awaits us. Her lips seek Zephyr's, a whispered promise of the passions yet to be unleashed.
Zephyr's breath catches as Lila's lips meet hers, the kiss a fusion of longing and devotion. Her arms wrap around the druid, pulling her closer, their bodies pressing together in a delicious rhythm that echoes the pulse of the music. In this moment, there's no thought of battles to come or distant lands to reclaim. There's only the heat of their skin, the sweetness of each other's taste, and the unbreakable bond that unites them. Let us dance beneath the starlight, my love, and may the fires of our passion guide us through the trials to come.
The next morning, the pair of lovers awaken in each other's arms under a tree hidden away from the rest of the camp. The morning is cold.
Lila's eyes flutter open, greeted by the gentle warmth of Zephyr's body curled around her. She smiles, memories of their passion-filled night still lingering in the air. As she takes in their surroundings, the chill of the morning air seeps into her skin, a reminder of the day ahead. A new dawn breaks, and with it a fresh star. She glances at Zephyr, a spark of determination in her emerald eyes. We have a long journey before us to find this necromancer and awaken the ancient druidic sight.
Zephyr's gaze lingers on Lila's face, the tender moments from the night still etched in her mind. She cups Lila's cheek, her thumb brushing against the smooth skin, a gesture of affection and solidarity. Whatever the road ahead holds, I know we'll face it together, our love a constant source of strength and inspiration. She presses a soft, lingering kiss to Lila's forehead. Now, let us ready ourselves for the misty realms and the challenge of meeting our mysterious ally.
Lila's lips curve into a gentle smile as she leans into Zephyr's touch, savoring the intimacy of the moment. Indeed, my love, The fates have brought us to this path, and together we shall follow it to its end. She rises from their makeshift bed, stretching her arms overhead, the morning dew glistening on her skin. Let's break our fast and gather our gear. The misty borderlands await us.
With a final lingering gaze at Lila's nude form, Zephyr stands, her movements graceful and purposeful. She retrieves their gear from a hidden cache, her mind already turning to the adventures that lie ahead. The Vistani have provided us with provisions and insight, but the journey to meet this necromancer will be arduous. She looks at Lila, her eyes filled with affection and determination. We must be prepared for whatever dangers the mist might hold, but with your strength, my love, I fear nothing.
Lila wraps her cloak around her shoulders, the soft fabric, a soothing contrast to the chilly morning air. She looks at Zephyr, her emerald eyes shining with a mix of anticipation and gratitude. Your courage inspires me, my love. Together we'll face whatever challenges the mist throws our way, and when we emerge, the world will know that our bond cannot be broken. She takes Zephyr's hand, her touch warm and reassuring. Now let us venture forth, and may the blessings of the wild guide us on our path. End of scene.
Start of scene. It has been a couple days since you left the Vistani. Grigori took the seedling into his care, and the Vistani promised to stay in the Vale until you return. They find themselves in a Think forest. With Lila's druidic connection, she can feel the land. The spirit of the land seems to be dark and oppressive. Something is different about this forest.
As Lila and Zephyr venture deeper into the thickening forest, the druid senses keenly attuned to the natural world. She can feel the land's energy, or lack thereof. The spirit that once flowed through this domain like a lifeblood now seems heavy with a dark and oppressive presence. She frowns, her brow furrowing in concern. Something is amiss here, Zephyr. The forest's essence has been tainted. We must be cautious. This could be an early warning sign of Amalthos's corruption spreading further.
Zephyr's grip on Lila's hand tightens. Her senses also on high alert as they navigate the dense foliage. The once vibrant greens and browns of the forest have given way to a muted palette, the very air thick with an unsettling, eerie quiet. The absence of wildlife and the oppressive aura are unmistakable signs of Amalthos's influence. We should be prepared for anything, and anyone, lurking in the shadows. She nods at Lila, her voice low and steady.
There is a howl in the distance, a primal shrill that resonates in your soul.
The sudden, bone-chilling howl sends a shiver down Zephyr's spine, its raw, animalistic tone reverberating through the forest like a warning scream. That sound, it's unnatural, a creature not of this world. She draws her dagger, the steel glinting ominously in the dappled light. We must find shelter, and quickly. The howler may be just the first of many unholy terrors lurking in this forsaken wood.
As if in response, another howl rings out much closer to the pair.
Zephyr's eyes dart around, searching for any signs of movement or cover. We need to find a safe spot, and fast. She spots a gnarled, ancient-looking tree in the distance, its branches twisted and gnarled, resembling a withered skeletal hand reaching toward the sky. There! That old growth might offer some protection. Come, Lila.
Lila nods, her senses still attuned to the forest's dark energy. Aye, Zephyr, that tree could provide some respite from whatever malevolent forces are stirring. She begins to move toward the ancient tree, her steps cautious and deliberate, her druidic instincts warning her of potential dangers. We'll need to keep watch and stay alert. Even this ancient guardian might not be immune to Amalthos' corruption.
As they reach a tree, a pack of wolves have encircled them. Then they hear the primal howl again, and a much larger wolf comes into view.
Zephyr's grip on her dagger tightens as she assesses the pack of wolves encircling them, their eyes glowing with an otherworldly amber. These are no ordinary canines. The unnatural glow in their eyes hints at dark magic or corrupting forces at play. She swivels her head toward the looming figure, her heart pounding in her chest. And that behemoth, a shadow of its natural form, perhaps. Whatever it is, We can't take it head on. Not with so many snarling teeth at our back.
Intruders in my domain. And my children are hungry, the werewolf says in a deep growl.
Zephyr takes a cautious step back, trying not to make any sudden movements that might provoke the pack. We mean no harm, your lordship. We're merely travelers seeking refuge from the darkness that plagues this land. She keeps her dagger at the ready, prepared to defend herself and Lila if the situation escalates. Perhaps if we can prove our intent, we might earn your consideration. Zephyr's voice is calm, yet firm, her determination clear as she tries to negotiate with the feral creature.
The werewolf circles Zephyr anxiously. And who do you serve, girl?
Zephyr holds the werewolf's gaze, her tone unwavering. We serve none but each other, and the cause of justice and light in a world consumed by darkness. She glances at Lila, a silent acknowledgement of their bond and shared purpose. Though our path may not be yours, we strive to protect the balance of nature and free the land from the shackles of Amalthos' tyranny.
Lila steps forward, her hands held palms up in a gesture of peace, as she addresses the werewolf lord. Respectfully, your majesty, we are but travelers seeking to aid the land in its time of need. We mean no harm to you or your pack. Her emerald eyes, usually full of life and energy, now hold a deep sadness. The once vibrant heart of Dragonfire Vale now beats with the cold breath of Amalthos, and we seek to restore the natural order. Perhaps together we could find a way to purge the darkness and allow your kind to thrive once more.
The wolf gives a low growl. Amalthos is a fool who grasps at power he can't hold.
Zephyr nods, a glimmer of hope sparking in her eyes at the werewolf's words. She looks at Lila, a silent question of whether to press their luck or retreat while they still can. If Amalthos' reign is as fragile as your words imply, perhaps there's an opportunity for us to strike a blow against his power, with your aid, or at least your neutrality. Zephyr takes a measured step forward, her dagger still at the ready, but her voice softening.
Zephyr, make a diplomacy roll.
I roll a 16.
Lila's breath hitches in anticipation, as Zephyr takes the lead in negotiating with the feral lord. Her druidic senses continue to scan their surroundings, ever vigilant for any signs of danger or deceit. Zephyr, your words have piqued the werewolf's interest, if not his immediate trust. She shifts subtly, her stance ready to defend her partner, while also maintaining an air of calm and openness. We must be cautious, yet persuasive. Our fate, and perhaps the fate of the land, may rest on the balance of his decision.
And what gain does that get my children? He says, growling low. Why should I risk my pack for such folly?
Lila's eyes sparkle with a hint of inspiration as she considers the werewolf's question. Ah, your majesty, perhaps we could forge an alliance of a sort. She pauses, letting her words sink in. If we were to guide your pack away from the corruption of Amalthus's influence, could there not be a place for you and yours in the renewed balance of the land? A haven, free from the Dark Lord's reach, where your children can hunt and roam in safety.
He lunges forward towards Lila, but stops before striking. He holds no sway in my domain. He spits the words angrily.
Lila remains still, her heart pounding in her chest as the werewolf's advance halts mere inches from her face. Her breath is steady, her voice calm. Your domain is just that, yours, not Amalthos's, and we intend to ensure it remains so. She reaches a hand toward the werewolf's snout, her touch gentle and soothing. We mean to free the land, not control it. Allow us to serve as your eyes and ears in the wider world, and we'll work tirelessly to keep Amalthos's darkness at bay, ensuring your pack's safety and autonomy.
Lila, make a diplomacy roll.
Lila rolls a 15. The werewolf leans into her touch and nods his large head once before moving back.
He covets my domain? The werewolf asks in a low voice.
The Dark Lord has consumed much of the land, your majesty, Lila replies, her voice soft but firm. He seeks to claim everything in his path, including your territory and the sovereignty of your pack. Our goal is to stop him, to restore balance, and ensure that all creatures, including yours, can live freely under the sun and stars. She looks the werewolf in the eyes, her emerald gaze filled with conviction. We can be your allies in this fight, but only if you'll allow us to help. We mean no threat to you or your domain.
The werewolf seems to ease his guard at that comment. He turns his head to his pack and gives a small bark. They retreat into the woods. We will not eat you tonight, he says before walking off.
Zephyr watches as the pack of wolves departs, a mix of relief and cautious optimism settling over her. She turns to Lila, a nod of gratitude and respect evident in her expression. Well done, Lila. Your words and touch seemingly earned us the werewolf lord's grudging acceptance. She holsters her dagger, the immediate threat receding, though the darkness still looms. Tonight, we'll take refuge beneath that ancient tree and rest, ready to press onward at dawn. The forest is still treacherous, and we must remain vigilant.
Lila and Zephyr sleep surprisingly easy with the feeling the pack of wolves are protecting the forest from any intruders.
The next morning, Lila and Zephyr awaken to a serene silence, the ancient tree's branches swaying gently in the breeze. As they rise, stretch, and prepare to continue their journey, they notice that the pack of wolves has not left their vigil. She glances at Zephyr, a smile playing on her lips. It seems our nocturnal companions have pledged to safeguard the forest, and perhaps, by extension, our quest while we navigate the treacherous path ahead.
Zephyr nods, her gaze lingering on the pack as they shift restlessly in the shadows. She turns to Lila, her expression a mix of gratitude and resolve. Indeed, and their protection comes at a critical time. We must capitalize on this unexpected boon and use it to our advantage as we delve deeper. She secures her gear and offers Lila a hand, helping her up. Come, my love.
Later, the pair walk out of the forest into a clearing. Beyond the forest appears to be a small village. There is a makeshift wooden wall surrounding the village and smoke coming from chimneys.
Lila's emerald eyes sparkle with a mix of curiosity and excitement as she takes in the sight of the village, its wooden walls and smoke-dreary chimneys, a welcome respite from the forest's oppressive aura. A settlement, perhaps here we'll find allies or useful information to aid in our quest against the Malthos. She looks at Zephyr, a determined glint in her gaze. Let's proceed with caution, but make haste. Every step brings us closer to confronting the darkness that threatens to consume this land.
As Lila and Zephyr approach the town, they see the heads of wolves on spikes outside of the gates.
Lila's step falters slightly as she takes in the gruesome sight of the wolf heads on display. Their once fierce eyes now glassy and lifeless. Wolves, like those who protected us in the forest, what dark forces could inspire such cruelty? She clutches the amulet around her neck, a silent plea to the spirits of the wild for guidance and strength. We must be wary, Zephyr. The presence of these wolf heads suggests that the villagers may not be as friendly as we hope, or that they've fallen under the same corrupting influence as the forest spirits.
Zephyr's grip on Lila's hand tightens, her own unease evident in the rigid set of her jaw. You're right, my love. The village's response to our arrival will be telling. She scans the surroundings, noting the height of the walls, the number of guards, and the general atmosphere of the settlement. If things turn sour, we'll need to be prepared to defend ourselves. Let's proceed slowly, assess the situation, and hope for the best. For the sake of the village and the land beyond, let us find a way to bring light back to Dragonfire Vale.
To be continued.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.